Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Nerd Soup Podcast. On today's episode, we will be talking Game of Thrones Season 8, Episode 3, The Long Night. I am Bo Oliver, joined today by Aaron the Nerd Soup Monkey, Teddy, first Game of Thrones video of the season, and Marissa, returning guest. So me and Aaron did our review last night, and everybody was really thrilled about that review in the comments section. Good like to dislike ratio. Oh, and before we start, I want to mention that this episode is being sponsored by HBO. David Benioff, DB Wise, thanks for that Venmo. That was sweet, man.
You got your payment?
Yeah.
Still waiting online.
I'm going out tonight. Little Night King emoji, little Iron Throne. It was cute. So, yeah, I guess we'll start with Marissa and Teddy. Your overall thoughts on this episode. Did you like it? Were you underwhelmed? Do you want us to die? Because...
You guys?
Yeah.
I was pretty nervous to come on this episode, yeah. But you guys taking the brunt of the comments. So
we're taking the brunt of it. We're like the Dothraki. Yeah. Just charging in. Good luck.
I didn't really like the episode. Kind of scared to say that, but I really liked it.
You
I liked
moron.
I liked all the shots.
You idiot.
There was so much emotion. What I liked the most was that there was like barely any dialogue, and you were able to cut that tension with a knife.
Or a Valyrian steel dagger. Yeah. Right? Yeah, nice. Yeah. Because nice. What Arya did in the episode.
Yeah, you had your
What did you think about
deaths.
That? The Night King's dead.
I loved it. Game of Thrones just surprises you time and time again with just endings that you don't expect. And I had no idea that was going to happen. No. And I loved it.
It was a shocking moment, man. I stood up and I said it on the review. I watched the rest of the episode standing up. It was a red moment, red wedding moment for me.
Every shot, I loved all the scene transitions. Just to describe one quick, when they're on the battlefield and then transition to the scene with the first dragon fight.
Beautiful shot.
Yeah, it's a poster. It was phenomenal.
Over the clouds, moonlight. It was beautiful.
Yeah, the dragon fights. There was so much to like in this episode. Yeah, if you want to nitpick, you can. You'll find stuff, but... I think you just take it as a whole, and I think you enjoy it.
Well, Marissa, you're up. Nitpick. No, you were a little underwhelmed with this episode, right?
I was very underwhelmed by the episode. There are moments I enjoyed, but there were a lot that I didn't. And in general, for what this episode promised, especially because episode 2 was so dire, they really made me believe that half of the cast was going to die. It was going to be this huge thing. And none of that happened.
I'll agree with you there. Episode 2 feels like a waste.
Especially, like, it makes me wonder why episodes 1 and 2 weren't just a combined episode.
No.
If episode 3 is what it is.
But they could have did this in episode 2.
Yeah. Or at least started the battle, like, maybe halfway through. I don't know.
Would you feel different if Brienne and, let's say, Grey Worm died?
It's not even that if they die, but if it's how they died as well. Because there were moments, I thought they died early in the battle. I thought Grey Worm died in that initial stampede. I thought Brienne died outside of the castle. If we could see them. But that's a complaint about the episode too. But I can understand if the characters weren't acknowledging the lighting, that it was nighttime and they were just operating, knowing where their enemies were. But it was chaos for them as well. They didn't know what was going on. They were swinging at anything. They were being swarmed.
But just because they didn't know what was going on didn't mean we also didn't have to know what was going on.
It comes down to personal preference because it worked for me. Because I was on the edge of my seat confused. I was confused by the chaos.
I was also confused and it took me out of it because I had no idea who was dying or who was doing what.
But that made me anxious.
But I got up and checked my TV to make sure that there was nothing wrong with it.
I was checking my brightness, my coloring, my shading. I couldn't fix anything.
I turned off all the lights. Like, I went all the rooms in the house that were near to the living room where I was watching the episode. I turned off all the lights. I was like, Mom, is it better now? Like,
Elena turned on the laptop and I was like, what are you doing?
That worked for me.
Do you guys think that it's kind of bogus that Jaime didn't die? I mean, he's got one hand and he's in the craziest battle ever and he makes it out.
Well, the people have been making that complaint. But when you look back in the battles of Game of Thrones, Blackwater, Battle of the Bastards, all the major battles, no significant characters died, especially Blackwater. Every main character in Blackwater survived. And it's my second favorite episode of the show.
Put some respect on Mathos, his name.
Mathos, yeah. Mathos, get down! But the criticism is, if you're going to turn the Long Night into the One Night Stand, then more characters should have died. Because this is such a significant event. It was hyped for seasons. Winter is coming. That's the most famous line from the show. Winter came and went. If you're going to wrap this up in one episode, you have to give me more deaths. That's my major criticism of this episode.
Well, but I would say...
Jorah's not enough. Ed's not enough. And I love Ed. I'm a big Ed guy. Love Ed. Love Jorah.
On your wall.
I have an Ed poster. Yeah. He's looking all surly.
Yeah, but
we've got two pilot characters. I mean, it just depends really when you look back on it or looking forward, what do these characters that survived have to do in your remaining story?
I feel like we keep saying that every year. It's always
the end. So I mean, we gotta.
I know that,
gotta give.
But now I'm starting to think because we were so we insisted in Beyond the Wall that some of those characters were gonna die, and it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
they should have. Some of them should have still died in Beyond the Wall. How many battles is Tormund going to survive?
Battle of the Bastards, same thing. I know it's a different like
Battle this, of the Bastards is different.
This, but I know this is the one that
this is the one
we've
man.
Been waiting for.
Yeah.
But I mean, seven characters. I think that's more main characters than any of the battles combined. If I'm wrong, I mean, you have Pip and Gren and Ygritte. Ygritte being the clear standout of the Watchers on the Wall. Blackwater, there's really no one. Battle of the Bastards is Ramsay. It's, I mean, all the major deaths. And, oh yeah,
how dare you?
I mean, even Dickon, like all the major deaths in Game of Thrones from main characters have been due to political maneuvering. Even Dickon and Randall, they survived spoils of war. It was until after, when Daenerys and the politics came to play, that they died.
But a character like Brienne, we all said it, that her arc came full circle. That's a character that should have died on the battlefield.
No, we predicted it.
Grey Worm?
It didn't happen.
Yeah.
It's.
But that's the thing. That's why I feel
this is where they would have died.
Because I'm I'm defending the chaos. I'm defending the lighting. If these characters, if when they show these characters. Imagine if they panned to the shot and Brienne was just lying on the floor dead. And it's like, I didn't know what was going on, then she's dead. That would have been a shocking moment.
Mm-hmm.
That she just died in the middle of the chaos. That would have been the most realistic portrayal of war, where you didn't even see these deaths. I would have liked to have seen more of that in this episode.
Well, I think it's important to understand the criticisms, too, because we both liked the episode, but
yeah.
I think...
Well, this is my major criticism.
Well, yeah, just going back and rewatching it, too, and everyone on Twitter and reading the comments, you gotta, like, I'm not gonna be like, oh, they're wrong, I'm right. You listen and you try to have that perspective on the rewatch, and it does give you a different perspective when you're looking out for these things. I still overall love the episode, but I can see where other people are coming from. And my overall perspective on the episode is due to the fact that the Night King dead and they're moving on to the human threat, which I love as story-wise.
But what do you say to the people that they wanted to know more about this character? And they wanted to understand the mystery of the threat of the White Walkers, that it's been built up for 8 seasons, and then it came and went.
Everyone wants that answer. Even they want that answer.
Right.
And they didn't get it because now he's dead, which is, it's a good thing.
Well, the thing is, too, we've gotten an explanation as to how he was created by the Children of the Forest. We had that scene in episode 2 with Bran talking about how he wants to kill me because I'm the world's memories.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's it. Maybe that's the explanation.
Well, the children made him as a weapon that backfired, and that's what they were made for, to destroy everything in their path. And obviously there's mystery around how they got defeated the first time, and you know, we theorize and we've talked about how we wanted to know what the White Walkers want, right? That's a big one for the Nerd Soup.
After this, you know how many comments I've been getting, will Jaime kill the Night King? I've gotten like 87 no's in the last 24 hours.
That's funny.
Yeah,
that's
like funny.
That. But
never make your video a question. Make the video title.
There's
a
an
question.
Answer.
There's an answer.
Sooner or later, there'll be an answer. But I was saying, we theorize about this. We were talking about how cool it would be for Bran to have that mental battle with the Night King. Maybe we see Bran go back to the first Long Night and see how they defeated him to get some more backstory on him. But at the end of the day, I mean.
What does that line from the Three-Eyed Raven mean in season 4?
What?
You'll never walk again, but you will sit in a garden.
He was in the Ravens.
He was in the Ravens.
Yeah, he saw him. But
was
maybe,
that the garden he was in? Was that?
No, the line was, you will fly.
Yeah.
And all believe that Bran would eventually. Yeah. Now, that would have been. That's a Melisandre. Melisandre is very specific.
So there's a lot of things that I would have liked to see, and I've theorized about seeing that didn't come into fruition. But I don't mind it because I like where the story is going, and that's my overall takeaway from the episode. Yes, there are things that might not work necessarily as far as character deaths or Night King backstory, but like I said, I really just want to see where it's going for these last 3 episodes. And as far as just, I mean, Mercy, you were disappointed in Night King dying, right?
Yeah, so I didn't actually think that they were going to kill him in the 3rd episode.
Yeah.
Because of a 6-episode season, killing the big bad in the middle seemed like a bad move to me. Also,
dude's only in 1 episode for the season.
Cersei's kind of the big bad.
But. Yeah, well.
Well, that says so much about her, too, now, though.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
I don't think I actually said this on last week's podcast. I think I said it afterwards, but I was confused about what their battle strategy was going into this episode. And I think I said it on our actual, like, Battle of Winterfell preview that I wanted to know how they were going to fight this. And what I got from this episode is that they didn't know how they were going to fight this.
Well, we said that. We made the joke, too. He's like, oh, Brienne has the left flank. Like, yeah, we'll see how long that lasts. It's the fan.
The most planning they did, like, even if they had just talked about what they were doing for the trenches, because it seemed like they had a whole plan for the trenches that we never heard about. We only just saw it happen.
But that's something I feel like you can just pick up on that.
But I wanted the battle planning, even if it was just like maybe kind of surface level. Like all they really gave us was like Bran is going to be by the Weirwood tree and then Brienne's going to have the left flank. Like,
but in that moment when Davos is waving the torches, you didn't pick up right away. Daenerys just made a mistake. That's why Jon was trying to hold her back. Because in that moment, I thought, oh, Daenerys just fucked up. How is this going to hurt them?
I didn't. I was like,
well, right.
I thought he was signaling to the archers
to
do something.
Well, even
and
when
then
he says,
it was
yeah.
clearly not working because of the wind, which.
But why, he does say.
You
she,
think they
she
would have accounted
us.
For a snowstorm?
Well, no. That's the Night King. That's
I know,
magic.
But you think they would have accounted for something like it?
Well, no, because Daenerys, she sees the Dothraki get decimated and she feels like she has to go in. Jon says the Night King is coming, implying we have to wait. And Daenerys is like, no, the dead is here. We need to go out there and do something now. So they leave early. I think the original plan was to draw them in, wait for the signal, then bring
but
the dragons
then
out.
Then that wasn't,
the trench.
For me, that wasn't clear enough.
Okay.
And
no, no,
I
yeah.
wish it had been clearer. But also, I'm not satisfied with the fact that Daenerys spent so long getting the Dothraki to trust her. Like, she brought them across the narrow sea.
She brought them over.
and then they were
jerked them.
They were gone. In a second. I mean, that shot was beautiful, seeing all the fire go out on the swords. But they're gone. Like,
well, they're sickles, I think.
Whatever.
I'm just messing with you.
Yeah. What about the catapults?
And it's the same goes for the Unsullied. Like, it seems like the people who are holding away the white or the whites and like the army of the dead, were all of Daenerys' people that she spent so long, like. Like, the scene where she gets the Unsullied army is, like, an iconic scene. And half the Unsullied are dead, almost all of the Dothraki. And I know it's, like, a battle, so we weren't going to get, like, acknowledgement of it, but why? Why did they do that?
Budget.
I know, but...
Logistics of feeding them.
Well, I guess...
Sansa's like, put the Dothraki up front.
You got to make the battle basically decimate their armies, too, because if they turn south to Cersei with a fucking Dothraki horde full of Unsullied.
And the Northerners, how many Northerners did they have? They had like 4,000 or something like that, right? Their numbers aren't great. So I can understand that, but I really loved that scene with the Dothraki being decimated, seeing that fire get snuffed out. And Melisandre's return, where the hell did she come from? She just took an Uber in.
Yeah,
she really just rolled up.
You guys don't mind if I come in here, right?
Yeah, can I just do this really cool fire thing?
I was amazed that they didn't, like, immediately... Like, I thought it was one of the White Walkers coming
in.
Yeah,
I thought it was, like, an emissary.
I was surprised they didn't take her out immediately.
Coming to negotiate. Guys, we don't have to fight. Just give us the castle.
Do you guys get the feeling? There's a chance that they're not going to win this, because he can just pick up everyone again.
It's that's like, when I thought he has to
everlasting
die.
Army.
Because they were going to win.
Well, once they get burned or you get stabbed with dragon glass or Valyrian steel, they're done. So most of the whites that died already are dead, but he just revived.
He was reviving.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's not enough to kill his army because he can just keep reviving.
Yeah, I was wondering how the hell they were going to get out of that. But also in my mind, I was thinking this guy has to die now because that's the only way they come out.
As soon as
because Jon got swarmed.
As soon as Grey Worm didn't die, I looked to see the runtime on the guide, and it said 10:25. So as the episode was progressing, I was like, when is the thing that will make me think they're going to win happen?
Yes.
And when Grey Worm didn't die, after he so clearly should have.
No, he should have died in that initial.
It was honestly amazing to me that he did not die.
No, he should
it's
have
It's also
died.
Amazing that Sam didn't die.
Sam should have
died. On the ground?
Sam should have died at least 7 times in this episode.
There was a few people, but that's another nitpick I had with this. And they did that almost dying and someone having their back thing like 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
And it was like,
that's still my biggest problem with this episode is that the gimmicky move of, oh, he's about to die. No, he gets saved.
At first I was convinced this battle was going to go longer than an episode.
Me too.
Going towards the end, when it was about like 10:10, I was like, oh, so it's going to end on a cliffhanger. We're going to have to wait till next week.
Mm-hmm.
And then Arya was like, just kidding. No, you don't.
Well, you didn't think that was awesome just from the way that it was shot?
Oh, no, I loved it. I think Arya being the one to kill him makes sense in that, like, this is what she's trained for, the prophecy that Melisandre helpfully reminded us of, because I forgot that prophecy completely, or not prophecy, but what she said.
She's like, I finally got one right. It's like, okay, people have blue eyes too.
Yeah. Green eyes, blue eyes.
Don't get full of yourself.
And people like...
So, did you think she was dead, though?
Who?
Arya?
At first, yes.
The Night King grabbed her?
Yes.
Yeah, I was like, oh, he just choked her out. I thought she was going to get juiced just like Lady Mormont.
Yeah, Lady Mormont did get juiced. He squeezed her out, son.
He grabbed her. I'm like, well, you know... John's screaming at a dragon. he's nowhere
so
around.
Next.
I also thought John was going to get there.
I thought Bran might have. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe he had something.
I thought it was going to be like a one for one. Arya dies and she kills him.
This is my other problem with the episode too. Is you have Bran Stark there who has these warging abilities. Give me something cool. Mm-hmm. All it has to be, it's you have these all of these mystical creatures and people that can use magic. Give me something. Bran's whole plan is to go into some crows?
There was a hot second where Bran was like, okay, bye. And his eyes go away, and then it shows the white eye. I thought he was in a dragon.
Yes.
Yeah. I thought he was in a dragon.
I was just about to say that.
And I was like, and then I was like, oh.
If he gets in like John's dragon.
It's just some birds.
Right. Well, when they were fighting and one of the dragons went down, I thought, here's Bran's moment to take control of Rhaegal, get him back into the air, save Jon in some way. And I guess you can make the argument that Bran knew that the plan was going how it was supposed to when he gives Arya the dagger in season 7, so I just have to sit here and things are going to work out.
I think there were character moments in this episode that we deserved that we did not get. Like, I think Jon should have got a 1v1.
Yeah, I said that too. And
he was kind of pointless or useless in that whole fight.
I mean, people pointing out, like, he did keep the Night King at bay. He did have a dragon battle with him. There is a lot that he did, but it was just overwhelming. And I think it gets lost, too. It's everyone is saying, there's no prophecy, no Azor Ahai. Arya killed the Night King. Is she Azor Ahai? Like, we really just killed him off after this big battle. And I think, obviously, in the books, there is no Night King. So D&D created this character and it put a face on the threat. So everyone's going to be focusing on the Night King when it should be the threat at large itself. And if it plays out the same way in the books and it's just Jon and Daenerys leading the fight against the dead and they come up victorious, that's Azor Ahai. They brought the dawn. When you, like I said, when you put that focus on the Night King, everyone's focusing on that character and that character alone. What's his motivations? What's his backstory? Why is he doing this? What's going on? Who's going to kill him? And once Arya kills him, that kind of just throws aside everything Jon and Daenerys did. They did come together. They did bring the North. They brought the Unsullied, the Dothraki, the dragons together to in the position to defend the North.
It's and like what Melisandre says. I brought ice and fire together.
They brought the Dawn. They are Azor Ahai, or one of the, like, whoever you want to put that moniker on, but everyone is drawn to Arya making the kill, and it takes all that away from them. And the focus is just shifted. If the threat is just the White Walkers in general, you don't have that.
I think, though, that could have been fixed if the episode itself had been, like, slightly more focused on Jon and Daenerys.
Yeah, but I think, too, when you make it the Night, when you put all that in the Night King, it's hard to live up to people's expectations of all their theories and all their speculation on that character. And it just leads me to believe maybe it was a mistake making this character. He was cool and everything, but I think you could have had the same effect if it was widespread over the 30 White Walkers we've seen.
Other complaint about this episode. Why aren't they fighting?
Yeah.
Why don't they fight? They're super-powered ice demons. Get in there. They fought at Hardhome. They fought in the very first season of the show. All they do is walk slowly towards their targets.
They obviously didn't have to. And maybe that's what threw back the Dothraki. I really don't see, but they are lined up in the front. Maybe they just fucking waxed them real quick.
Do you guys think that maybe this battle should have happened in, like, season 7, maybe?
I think so. I think this could have been,
I think people...
No, yeah, seriously.
I think people, if you think about it...
The amount of filler that we've gotten from season 7 and season 8 so far, because I'm sorry to say, these first two episodes feel like filler now, I'm afraid that episode 4 is going to be filler, and I enjoyed so much of this episode.
Well, that's a criticism of the structure of the series. I mean, if you're going to have 8 seasons, I think another complaint, too, is people are not thrilled with Cersei being the big bad instead of the ice zombie that they made the wall for. I love that. I think that's brilliant.
No, I like it, but it's why did they take so long to get to this point?
Yeah, exactly.
It's not that, but I think people wanted this kind of to be the end, where I feel like
they did.
Where a lot of sci-fi and especially just big fantasy epics, usually the big battle is at the end and that's it. we're actually getting to see in the aftermath. They're returning back to the politics. They're coming back to why we love the
show. Sure, but they could have also done this in season 7.
Yeah, but not getting your
episodes.
Not getting your answer for the White Walkers, it does just kind of make this fight kind of pointless to have in the last season. If you don't get your backstory on why they're even here. I mean, are they really just here just to roam?
Well, you can have it in the final season.
That's
what
the Children of the Forest made them for.
It should have been a seven season series. That there shouldn't have been these two last seasons.
We have 8 seasons, so right. I guess we got to look at it in the scope of 8 seasons.
Right, but now I'm afraid because in season 7 there are episodes that I just don't want to watch, and I feel like in episode 2. Because, like, you made that point that you thought this episode was going to be straight carnage, and that going back and watching episode 2 was almost like you're watching these characters' funerals in a way.
Yeah.
That it's their last moments in which they are being celebrated. Now season 2, I mean, now episode 2 does kind of feel not as good.
I mean, okay, this is what I've been kind of assuming about the show. I feel like it's been leading up to, like, there are all these, like, squabbles between people, like, the politics stuff that is really good. But ultimately, like, that would all fall away in the face of this greater danger and that doesn't care about politics. And I thought that would have been a good end to the show if, like, ultimately, not like they were going to all, like, hold hands and, like, sing around a campfire or something. I just... How this ended isn't what I wanted, ultimately. It doesn't feel like...
I think
you were expecting something more clever with the White Walkers.
Yeah, like, I didn't... If it was, like, a straight-up, like, bad guy thing, I don't think I would have cared, but it didn't even feel like an ultimate bad guy thing. Like, he didn't say anything. He just kind of showed up, smirked, and then died.
He did hit that smile. He was looking cute.
It's hard to really
flex on Daenerys so hard.
Flesh out a character who doesn't speak. He's not going to be Infinity War Thanos given these philosophies. But I would say that's kind of two sides of the same coin, right? Well, I don't even know if that... I feel like that might work. I don't know.
Yeah, keep going.
I think I heard that on
like how it sounds.
Heard that on the radio once. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to use that.
I just heard it somewhere, too.
I don't know.
Was it Infinity War?
No.
No, I said it. I said it about Thanos and Iron Man.
Yeah.
Can you stop stealing my shit?
Oh, sorry, man. So if you flipped it, right, like how you said, they get rid of the politics and they all fight, and the ultimate climax is against the Battle of the Dead, against the White Walkers, then people are going to be upset. Well, we spent 8 seasons trying to think about who was going to sit the Iron Throne, and they threw that out the window. So I think you would have part of the fan base mad about that, and then what happened here, you spent 8 seasons developing the Night King just to kill him, and then no matter how you flip it, I think people are still going to be upset at the outcome.
You know, I don't think I would mind it as much about returning to Cersei if the last couple seasons hadn't kind of fallen away from the politic thing so much, or like really simplified it. It was more like, I don't know, the last couple seasons to me felt more like different people just trying to get armies.
Well, the writing wasn't as strong as the season 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah.
So they were trying to play like the politics, but it just didn't come off the right way. I feel like that's just the problem with the lack of source material, maybe, or just not the...
I can't wait for Winds of Winter, though.
Yeah.
Because George R. R. Martin said in 60 Minutes the endings are going to be very similar.
Mm-hmm.
So this has to be from George. This threat has to be eradicated. We always said that the ending was going to go beyond the Night King and that he's got some Tolkien in him. But that's not how it ends. It doesn't end with the return of the King battle. And I love Lord of the Rings, disclaimer, because every time I bring up Lord of the Rings, people are like, oh, you hate Lord of the Rings? No, I love it. And they're different shows.
Mm-hmm.
But
Lord of the Rings are movies.
They're movies, books, whatever. Them going beyond and reintroducing the politics, that's the thing. We do have to wait until the end of the season, because if these last 3 episodes are some of the best political writing that you're going to get from the show, then it was all worth it. It was worth it to kill off the Night King in this battle. And still, to me, that moment of Arya killing the Night King, like I said, it's a Red Wedding moment. Mm-hmm. It's the most shocked I've been since Talissa was stabbed in the stomach, where I was not expecting this. We had talked about it, but I didn't think the show was going to go this route. And it was satisfying for me, and I can understand the complaints of... You made a good point, though, about the Night King. He doesn't... If you're going to go bad, then just make him completely mindless evil that's trying to destroy the world. And it still
kind of
doesn't really feel
that. That's what he's been doing, though.
What would...
Yeah, but it's... They almost made him less intimidating
in
this episode.
Well, I asked my friend this, who had the same opinion... What would you have liked to see from the Night King? Like, what, as far as backstory or, like, what alternate ending would you have
Monologue.
Preferred to see for this character?
Him say something?
Him monologuing
Maybe
in front of
just,
John.
Like,
Maybe Bran you talking about, because Bran knows. Maybe Bran giving his reason why he's doing this.
Yeah, I think maybe even just a confirmation of what Bran had said in episode 2 about why the Night King was doing this, I think would have been enough. But I don't know, like, him and Bran, the scene where him and Bran were, like, staring each other down and Bran actually looked scared, like, that was good. I really like that. And the way they were looking at each other, for a second, I was like, Bran's the Night King? Is he seeing himself? is it like he's looking into a mirror? Is that what's happening? and that's not what happened.
God, I look awful. Nope.
Bran was going to say some crazy shit when Night King came up to him.
Took you long enough.
Yeah. Gets exactly. up. Like, hey, Dad, or something like that. Or
gets up out of the chair.
That would have been wild. Yeah.
Playing everyone.
Yeah, I think Bran was very, like, severely underutilized.
Yeah.
Yes, he was.
I agree with that.
For all that he's been, because I've really liked what he's been doing the past couple episodes, him kind of being, like, stone cold, knowing everything, but also kind of nothing. Like,
not saying what he knows, but
yeah, like, he's not
everyone knows that he knows everything.
And then what I thought was going to be his biggest contribution of the show, he didn't do anything.
Yeah, but
I wish in that war room, and they were talking about their plot and how they're going to defeat him. Yeah,
okay.
Bran could have said something right there and gave us like a 5-minute spiel on what the Night King wants and what he's doing.
Kind of did.
That would have made it better.
What I'm tired of doing with this show is assuming.
Yeah.
Right now, I want to say, well, I'm assuming that Bran knew what was going to happen. That's why he placed himself in the Godswood.
Just take it for what it is.
He set a trap. Yeah, but then that's never going to be explained over the next 3 episodes. That's what this show keeps telling me over these last couple of seasons, is that it's like, oh, we're going to get an answer for this. Maybe not.
But I feel like, too,
but now it's the books are so much different, because the books go into so much more detail about everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to assume if George keeps... That's why I'm freaking out, because George is saying it's going to be the same, but it can't be.
A couple things.
It can't be.
A couple things.
Or maybe that's why he can't finish it.
As far as... I feel like, too, like, we've always liked the mystery of him, and I think that helps.
King?
Yeah, I mean, so for me and Bo, I think that helps us digest him just dying, because we liked that we didn't know anything about him.
Yes.
It's kind of like Palpatine. Like, we didn't know anything about Palpatine, which brings me to another point. Would you be excited or opposed to them in the Long Night prequel doing a kind of prequel Star Wars type where they explain...
I was just going to ask you,
like,
that.
In the prequels, they explain Palpatine, his plan, and his kind of his backstory. Would you be opposed to seeing that, or are you just done with it?
I'm not opposed to seeing that, but they couldn't have done this in Game of Thrones.
Well, that's the thing, too. I mean...
You didn't need it with Palpatine in Star Wars, because...
No. I mean, the original trilogy,
two villains.
Darth Vader's...
He's the villain.
Yeah,
Darth
Vader is
the villain.
And Cersei is Darth Vader, and Palpatine's Night King.
Yo.
Come on, man. No, I'm joking. But no, I'm serious.
No, you're dead serious.
But would that take it away from you, having like a difference? Because we always said, like,
how many seasons is that show going to be?
But I don't think D&D would allow people to hijack their story.
Oh, I think they would.
You think so?
Yeah.
I feel like they would rather tell their story. So they're not going to be like, oh, HBO, we'll do you a solid. You explain this major part of our story in a prequel that we're not involved in.
Well, then they would have went 10 seasons. Because then what is the Long Night going to be? What is it going to focus on? Because the Night King has to be in that show, right?
Would it be one season of explaining what the White Walkers were and what they wanted to make Game of Thrones whole?
But I feel like we shouldn't need that show to make the Game of Thrones whole.
Well, yeah, I'm the opinion, like, all right, that's what we have. They're done. Okay, that's it.
Leave it at that.
Like, we've got...
But if they did...
And then the Long Night is just...
We can't. It's so tough to speculate on that. If they did sacrifice their own vision for the sake of a prequel show,
then
at the end of the day,
that's a bad decision.
Oh yeah, no, I agree. And at the end of the day, HBO is a corporation. So, and I think they give them. I don't know. That's so far into the future. But I guess let's just go back to this episode. Let's talk about more specifics.
Let's get one last thing on that. I mean, George has always said. I mean,
and he's heavily involved with the Long Night.
Yeah, I feel like that could be his, like. If you've used that as like a. Basically a live-action World of Ice and Fire type novel, like where he can just open up the history books and explain a lot of his lore. I think that's what he wants to do, you know, not remake his something he has already written. Maybe create something new is more up his alley. But, like, everyone said, like, the White Walkers, they're a metaphor for something. You know, there's been different, like, climate change, whatever you want to call it. And I can see George doing the same exact thing where, like, the overall point of the story is the real threat is human, and it's always been human. So that could just be an underlining theme of both the show and the books, where it would make sense for them to defeat have this conflict, overcome it, and then realize that the real threat's been right here the whole time, and it's Cersei.
I wish I had felt more cathartic than it did. I don't want to, like, bring up Endgame.
No, don't.
But I just want to say Endgame, for a finale in a series that has been going on for 11 years, the ending felt cathartic. And for what, like, capping off the Night King didn't, and I wanted it to.
Yes.
Is there anything that can happen?
It's a little apples and oranges because it's just for different audiences, and it's a different it's a different genre.
Well, I'll take away the prequels. Is there anything that can happen in the next few episodes that would be like...
Oh, if the battle between... Well, I want to see Targaryen Civil War.
Not just with Cersei and the
politics. Because Daenerys' army is done.
But as far as, like, if Bran, like, if he has a moment where he reflects and we get some more...
I'm not anticipating it. I'm still done anticipating things.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, would anything, like... Are you just done with, like, the Night King?
Is the Night King even dead?
That's
a new theory.
That's another one I've seen. But I'm just like thinking out loud. Like, is there anything else?
Teddy loves that.
Teddy.
The way I didn't even think of that.
I'm surprised.
I think he warged into
Bran. I thought
Bran.
That was going to be your first point coming in. The Night King's still alive.
He warged into Arya.
Well, the Night King from the Long Night is going to get a quantum suit.
Well, to get off, I mean, I kind of think we're focusing now on the Night King a lot. Well, I think we need to.
Let's talk about ghosts running with the Dothraki.
Well,
what the hell was that?
That, but.
That was unreal. Like, what's he going to do? Bite him?
I'm going to get
like,
you.
Like you said, the Night King's dead, and we need to move past that. Now, the politics is back. So, am I looking into this where, when Sansa and Tyrion had that moment, is there going to be internal conflict now within Winterfell?
Oh, yeah.
Because... Oh, yeah.
Which, actually, I'm very excited to see.
Because now it's over, and now the game for the throne's back. So
yeah. Hell, yeah.
Like, what's happening now?
Yeah, that's the
Wait
thing.
Wait a minute. We don't see eye to eye on things.
Oh, wait, we all hate each other.
I love how Missandei fucking... She's
always
day
sticking
one.
Up for her, girl.
Day one. I love it.
Well, I like the line about Daenerys saying that we won the Long Night. We won the Great War. Now it's time to win the War for the Throne.
The Last War.
The Last War. Mm-hmm. The Northerners are going to love her. Because Jon stressed that in the first episode, that you need to gain their respect. She just saved the North.
Oh,
they love her now.
Quick thing, speaking of ghosts, I fucking hate you.
Editing that audio.
So we recorded the review right after, and afterwards we watched a preview, and like we saw it live, but we were in stopping frame by frame, like trying to see the background. And by the time we finished recording, we've seen pictures of ghosts in the background.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, ghosts is in the background. It's like, just record something real quick and throw it in there, because we didn't know at the time of recording, because we didn't see it yet. He forgets, and I got, 50 messages today. Ghost is in the trailer.
Is he?
Yeah.
He's alive? You know what it is? When it's 9 a.m.
Saw the two dragons,
when it's 9 a.m. after pulling an all-nighter, you're like, I don't give a fuck if Ghost is alive or dead.
I'm not mad at the people, because like, thank you to the people who were messaging me, like trying to give me, like, oh, the Ghost is in the trailer. Thank you. I'm mad at you for, because I knew Ghost was in a trailer, and I just had a constant reminder all day of your
call it laziness.
No.
Those messages.
I'm gonna say a lapse of judgment.
Those messages,
my lapse
like,
of judgment.
Yeah.
Nice messages, or were they trying to? Like,
no. There was not. It's like,
no,
hey,
they are very nice.
They showed us a picture with like the circle. Like, here's Ghost. I'm like, oh, thank
you.
You
know,
I saw that.
I've been getting
here's
comments
thank
every
you.
Day of my life for 2 years that the Children of the Forest created the Night King. So deal with it.
Okay.
What were you going to say, Marissa?
When I listened to your video and you guys first said, oh, we don't know if Ghost is alive, I was going to text you. And I was like, you know what? I don't need to. Plenty of other people will.
What did you guys think about the dragon fights? I mean, the CGI, I think that's something we can all agree on.
I could not see it.
And just like that, we're in disagreement.
I was confused about which dragon was which and who was on which dragon. And
it did bother you.
Yeah, I like... Again, there are a lot of moments the Dothraki disappear and then people are running back. And one of them was Jorah. I couldn't see Jorah's face.
I thought he was dead.
Face.
I thought he was a knight. Like
I thought,
a white,
yeah, no. I thought he was a white because I could not see his face. Same thing with the dragons. I couldn't, until one of them started blowing blue fire, like breathing blue fire, I didn't know which dragon was which. And I spent so much time trying to figure out who was who that I like had like forgotten what the stakes of that fight were.
See, when I didn't know who was who, I just sat back and watched.
Yeah,
I was
feel
thinking, oh man, who's who? Who's dying here? Who's going to live? Who's going to win? And then when he started shooting the blue fire, I thought, oh, that's the bad guy.
I was getting cool. I was getting like the worst anxiety because like my biggest fear is being chased. So it's like when he was shooting that blue fire,
on Daenerys, right?
Yeah, I'm like, oh, is he hitting her? And like, yeah, what's going on?
He was on her ass.
I start sweating.
No, that's, I really got nervous for those characters at that point. I got nervous more for the dragons, not Jon and Daenerys. I didn't think they were going to die.
Yeah, I thought that was their scene. I was really worried that the Night King was going to get another dragon.
Me too. Yeah, I thought Rhaegal died when he crashed.
I was convinced he did, and the Night King just like forgot.
Yeah.
Until someone's, I think, is there two dragons in the trailer for the next episode?
Yeah, they're both alive.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't see that, but
yes,
someone
there
told me.
You rather get a lot. Of, well, no one knows.
Yeah, don't ask questions. I thought Drogon was going to die as well.
Yes.
When he was being swarmed by all those white fleas, you're just trying to shake him off. Mm-hmm. You just left Daenerys.
Poor guy.
Yeah.
Did you like Daenerys picking up the sword?
Because loved it.
Me and Paul loved it. I thought it was like, it's a little ridiculous when you think about it. Like she's fighting the whites, but no, actually it's not. I liked it. I thought it was. You know, she's there. She has the last-ditch effort. Jorah's protecting her. She's saving Jorah. Like, there's nothing else she can do. And I'm like, all right, Dany, you're out here killing whites. That's awesome.
That was the most emotional death of the episode.
I was just going to ask you, did you feel emotion in that death with Jorah? Because he did. They dragged that out. I mean, I think if they kill him a little faster, it hits a little more.
Yes, I can see that. It worked for me because it reminded me, I said this on the review of Boromir, that he just kept taking arrows. He just kept taking knives to the gut, to the heart. And he just kept fighting to his last breath. And that's all he ever wanted to do, was serve Daenerys. And, you know, he was in love with her. But the emotion on Daenerys' face, thinking about where this man started with her, that he was her day one, even though he did betray her in the beginning, but he was at her wedding, he was in the pilot. And even Drogon sensed that when he came over to console Daenerys, wraps his tail around the body. And it's an end to a character. I said Barrison should have went out like this, but that was the most emotional death. The first one was Ed. You know, I almost forgot that Ed probably was going to die in this episode. So when he saved Sam, I was like, poor Ed. Getting knifed in the back of the head.
That was more emotional for me.
Sam should have died like a million times in this episode.
That one shot of him on the ground is like stabbing.
But if you're going to keep Sam alive, then put him in the crypt.
Yeah, Sam should have been in
the crypt. He has no business being out there then.
Well, it's like what Tyrion said. Someone can see something different.
I mean, they also would not have been able to see anything.
That's true.
Yeah, there wasn't much to see out there. The plan was in motion.
But they were overwhelmed. They wouldn't have been able, I think, to contribute anything that would have ultimately made a difference.
I mean, no one really did, right? Once shit hit the fan, I don't think anyone was making...
Once they started piling on top of each other to get past the fire trench, I was like, oh, they're done for.
What did you think about that moment with Melisandre lighting the trench? That was great.
That was really so much tension and the fear on her face. I think if we got more moments like that where you could see the characters being afraid, I think it would have helped with this episode.
Yeah, her death at the end was emotional. Her dropping the necklace, becoming the old woman. Somebody was like, did she become a white?
Going back to Marissa said, like, how you wanted to see the fear. I think we saw the fear, but I think the fact that there was never really a buildup or a sense that something like one of these characters will die, that it really didn't resonate.
The build-up
in
the beginning was amazing.
But as it was going on,
Tyrion.
like they look scared, but they're swinging, and there's never, they never set up for something. Usually you can tell when someone's about to die, and they never really set that up, so you never really felt like something was going to happen, because when everything's going on, you really can't see, which I liked. I thought to myself, too, while I'm watching it, well, they're not just going to kill someone in pitch black that we like. They're going to make it a moment.
They should have, actually. I would have preferred that
can
if
go
this was
both.
The most realistic, where the people were just getting mowed down.
That can go both ways, though, because if you see him just dead, you're like, really? Like, I've been watching this character for 8 seasons. Like, and you just kill him like that?
That would have been awesome. Seriously, it really would have. It would have been just the moment of the battle, that this threat was so overwhelming. This is not traditional storytelling.
It's not
a moment death, it's just death.
I love it, too, how fans are like... upset that their favorite characters didn't die.
Yeah, for real.
So I get it, because you want stakes in the show, but it's just a weird concept thing. Like, oh, rats, Jamie didn't die.
There's also 3 episodes left, so
well, it's
relax.
Not that they want them to die, but it's,
I know,
if
you
you're
want
putting
the
these characters in these dire situations and they keep getting out of it, that's where the frustration comes from.
Yeah.
But you made the point, too, that a lot of the main character deaths have been political. It's been about mistakes that they've made that are years in the making or months in the making, and then the chickens come home to roost and they either lose their head or they get stabbed or their throat is slit. But
I mean, we had 2 pilot characters, Jorah and Theon. Lyanna Mormont.
Illyrio.
She was...
Oh, no, never mind.
She was late to the game, but she made an impact on people. Who else do we have? Ed, he's been around for a while. There was... Am I missing? the Night King, obviously.
Lyanna Mormont's death was awesome, but
Melisandre, she's the one that got part me of the most. Series.
Mm-hmm. She really did get squeezed out, dude.
Did Alice Karstark bite the dust?
Flicks him right in the eye.
I don't know. Was she in the crypts?
She went with Theon.
Oh man, she's dead.
Theon was the only one left standing.
So it all depends really on what these characters have in store for the next three episodes. Because we're probably going to need Jaime. We're going to need Tyrion. Jon and Daenerys, obviously. The Hound, a potential Clegane Bowl.
I thought they were going to ice him there.
You know, but if Brienne does nothing for the rest of the series and just has a happy ending, maybe you could have killed her off. Maybe if Grey Worm and Missandei survive and they go back to the Summer Isles, then maybe you can look back and be like, maybe something could have happened to them. But you just we just don't know what their role is going to be in these last 4 hours. So I would just hold back judgment. But you can also say, I could see where some people might be like, okay, they can survive, but they were put in situations during the battle where maybe they shouldn't have survived. And that's fair.
I think if they show me so much trauma in the next episode,
how much can they do,
I will
though?
Be satisfied.
You were obsessed with post-traumatic stress.
It's a really interesting character exploration. I enjoy it. I enjoy seeing writers like take the time to go through it. And I don't know if they will. But
if you think
if
about
they
it,
did, I would forgive them for this episode.
Well, it could be a catalyst for Jaime, and if he's the one who kills Cersei.
Yeah, I hope Jaime is so shook that he just Cersei's done.
Well, it's like
well, the threat's not coming anymore.
It's not the threat, but it's like having that experience and knowing Cersei turned her back on you.
Yes. Well, Cersei made a big mistake not fighting with them. Because
even
now
though it
she's
turns
just
out,
absolutely fucked.
I mean, really. She was
decimated.
Right.
They're pretty decimated.
She was like, I thought her plan to let them kill each other off was dumb. And it worked. She was right.
Yeah, but there are two dragons left.
Yeah, that's
two dragons
thing.
Win war. Daenerys snaps.
Well,
Qyburn, you're done.
He probably whipped up, like, what, like 10 of those fucking
Well, she was banking on the North to win, though. Because if the North doesn't
let
win,
the monsters kill themselves, and then we rule over the rest. So
yeah, but the Night King wins. His army is ridiculous.
Well, I think she put a couple dragons on the gold dragons on the Night King just in case they did win. You got to hedge your bets at that point.
She's been in talks with him.
I hope we see the elephants somehow. Didn't get the ice spiders. I thought the elephants were kept on the sideline for the ice spiders. Oh, wait, yeah, no, I do hate this episode. No ice spiders.
Well, how much can happen in terms of deaths? How much can happen in the next episode? Because you're not getting another fight in the next episode, right?
I think Bronn's going to show up like, what did I miss here?
He might kill Tyrion, man. He really might. I could see him doing it.
It's kind of, it's so
I
funny.
Forgot about that plot, that he's coming to ice Tyrion and Jaime.
Hi, I'm your friend, but your sister gave me a lot of gold.
You know what's funny, too? I remembered, I think, on one of our previews or whatever, and someone asked us a question, I think on one of the podcasts, and they're like, what is your biggest fear for Game of Thrones this year, for season 8? Like, are you scared that it might be bad? And I think I said something along the lines of, no, I'm more scared of it being a la The Last Jedi, because I don't want to deal with that. And it's kind of become a very divisive episode. I honestly don't mind people not having, like, not agreeing with how I viewed the episode, but if it's, I like just having a conversation, talking on Twitter. A lot of times on Twitter and online, that gets lost, and it's just like, a lot of times it comes off like I'm right, you're wrong. But I like discussion, and I think honestly, if you didn't like the episode, I would just wait till it plays out, and maybe we'll have a different viewpoint on it. If it turns out that the ending sucks, maybe just the season sucked and you don't like it. So far, I like where it's headed. So
it's just an attest on how great Game of Thrones is. Because if you have this many fans arguing about this, just how amazing this show is.
I just want everyone to like it and everyone just be happy.
I know, right?
That's what I want. Like, I wish happened, obviously, though. With a show this massive,
yeah,
there'll
always be people that don't like it.
There's so many different scenarios that can play out that there are bound to be people that don't like certain scenarios and people that do. And that's fine. So we just got to see how the rest plays out.
Somebody said to me yesterday, it's good for you guys because it's so polarizing. I'm like, it's not.
No, it's worse.
The show is much it's much better when everybody is on board. Mm-hmm. I think the most fun I've ever had reviewing a show was season 6 because everybody pretty much enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. Season 7 was, I mean, we all remember that. That was brutal. But, yeah, I mean, just going back to, I guess we'll talk about some of the other character moments in this episode, Arya sneaking in the library.
That was a great scene.
Stressing me out, man.
I was genuinely terrified for her.
That was a video game.
It was 100%. Yeah.
The John was a video game too. Yeah, we said it on our review, but like that's a level where a dragon is blowing fire and you have to run and hide behind little things and get closer. There's a scene
when
I rewatched it, I almost lost my shit laughing because it was so funny, and I think people might have missed it. There's a point where he runs at the dragon, realizes there's no cover, turns around and runs back and finds cover. Yeah. It's like, oh, no.
That's literally a video game.
He thinks he has time, and he doesn't, so he just runs around and finds cover.
Yeah.
Deadass get up and scream at a dragon's face.
It reminded me of Jack Sparrow at the end of Pirates 2, where he just accepts death and he just screams at the giant.
Did John accept
Kraken.
Death, though? I feel like he thought it was going to work.
Say that again?
Did John accept death at that moment, though? Like,
I
what
think he said, did Johnny Depp accept death? I was like, yeah, in that moment he did. No, I thought I think he was trying to like almost stab him when he got bit.
Is it a grizzly bear or a black
him?
Bear?
Or what are black bears, if you scream at it runs away.
You get real big, you get scared off. Maybe John thought that was the case.
That's a scene that I personally don't like because you know he's not going to die there. So it's like, all right, what's going to happen to save him?
Yeah, but that's then you don't like Battle of the Bastards? I mean, John's never going to die.
I mean,
they've already killed him once.
Actually, I guess they did the same thing when he stood up when he was going to the Night King and he rose everyone. It's like, is this where John dies?
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess sometimes you kind of just have to suspend that.
Yeah.
Did you like that, though? I mean, him, he's doing everything. Like, he sees everyone being cornered, and he kind of just like, I need to get to Bran.
I love that.
I do.
I would have loved it more if he got to Bran. Yeah.
And I love the Arya moment. I think, we've always said for a character, what was the point? I mean, she killed the Freys. She had all these skills, but something more has to happen. And obviously, killing the Night King is a huge thing, and which they can do. In the books, she could kill a White Walker or two, but since, like I said before, they put everything on the Night King, it's just that's just the moment there. It makes such a more impact on the battle. It wins the battle. And I think I'm not upset that she had that moment. And while I was watching it, I loved it, but kind of John's story, right? For
I think
that aspect of the story is John's.
I think I also liked Arya killing the Night King. I thought that was a good moment. I think I would have liked it more if John had managed to get to Bran and then him and the Night King were going to face off. Maybe they were in the process and the Night King kind of just like, I feel like he maybe would tell his people to like hold a bit.
Yeah.
He's like, let's get this.
Yeah.
And then that's when Arya appeared. And then she killed the Night King. I think I would have maybe been more satisfied with that.
Because it's funny, too. When they're doing, like, the inside of the episode, John's like, yeah, I was fucking pissed. Like, Kit Harington.
That was awesome.
Yeah. Because I think that one of the writers or whatever, or producers, is like, yeah, Kit was really on board. He's like, I was pissed.
Nope.
But,
no, I wanted to kill him.
it's something where I think if, like, the Night King, like, his plan, Jaime says it. If he dies, everyone else dies. Then he's not going to show himself. So he was very strategic of not showing his face. And hiding the White Walkers, too, you can rationalize that by if we've seen it in Beyond the Wall, if one of them dies, maybe 25% of their army goes down. You don't know how many each White Walker turned. So it makes sense having them kept in the background just to ensure victory. Have Daenerys and Jon take him on a wild chase, and when Jon's finally there, I'm not going to fight Jon. I could lose to Jon. I've seen him kill one of my White Walker lieutenants. So why would I risk that, have the army of the dead? I'm here for Bran. I don't have time to deal with Jon. I don't have time really to deal for Daenerys. I'll take them on this wild chase, but when the time's right, I will go for Bran. And when the coast is clear for my other White Walkers, then they can come in. I came this far. I don't want to risk victory. I don't know if he's, you know, he has a plan, right? Like,
we've
seen him have...
It seemed like he had more of a plan for them than they did for him.
Yeah.
Did either of you guys think that when Bran went to the Crows and saw the Night King, that the Night King was going to Cersei and maybe he wasn't there?
No, I didn't actually think that. You thought that?
I thought, yeah.
I thought that too.
And then
that
this fight is just a diversion. Maybe there's half of his, or maybe 25% of his platoons are there.
I'll tell you what, though. Even though he did die in this episode, I didn't think that. But he was great for the whole battle. Everything that he did, him in the aerial battle, I know you couldn't really see what was going on, but him commanding the whites to fall on the fire, him in the air, him on the ground, walking towards Bran, the design of the character, I thought if this was going to be his last appearance, and it was, then it was a very strong appearance for the character.
Do you think we should have saw this coming? Not him, like not getting an explanation of his backstory, and
we did get
some of his backstory, but like a broader look into it and more of like what is he doing, like what does he want? Because I mean, they've had a while to kind of dig deep into that,
and they haven't.
Yeah, and it's kind of like maybe could have felt rushed if they just threw it in here, like all that information now, where we had Bran with Three-Eyed Raven, and they chose to show us him being made and the reasoning why he was made. I don't know. Maybe that, I guess maybe, I just felt like maybe it was just too late, and they just, that's the reasoning they had for him, and that's it.
You know, I just want to say one thing before this gets cut off, because I don't know when you're going to do it, but I like the fact that the Night King used his powers to protect his troops from Daenerys and Jon just blowing everyone with their fire.
Because it was a great hero moment by Daenerys and Jon, even though they made a mistake.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I like that.
Because that could have just caught a hole in everything.
Yeah, no, it goes to more of his abilities that he's able to summon, that he can change the weather in a way. He's almost like Storm.
But I think, you know, the battle itself and all the shots, the score, cinematography, people are going to, you know, you couldn't see.
I couldn't.
No, you can see that storm coming, though.
I enjoyed it. I thought there were some wonderful shots. And in the episode, like while you're watching it, in that moment, you're on the edge of the seat. There's you don't know what's gonna happen, and I think from that standpoint, it's a very good episode. And when obviously you look back on it, people will either look back on some things and not like it, and some people will be fine with it. I just think the technical aspect, you got to marvel at what they were able to accomplish here with the longest battle ever on film.
Yeah, that's something where I can't agree with people. Talking about the lighting, talking about the cinematography, talking about the battle itself. I thought all of that was mm-hmm. perfect. I thought it was one of the best battles. It's what I want to be on the wall to be, just absolute chaos.
They killed the Night King one episode, but it's the longest battle. It's like they gave him a proper setting mm-hmm. to die. I think,
but they did leave some things on the table.
They did. And I totally understand that. Like I said, we theorize it, but if that's not what the story they wanted to tell, then that's not the story we're going to get. So all we could do is look forward.
Yeah, it's gone. The Night King came and went, and now it's back to what we love about Game of Thrones, like you said, is the politics.
Well, that's the problem with reviewing this season mid-season, is we just have to wait until the end to see what the full picture looks like.
Because a lot of comparisons... You can guess
as much as you want.
Yeah. Well, a lot of comparisons are Last Jedi and like Snoke and obviously that, and people are bringing that up. The only difference is we got the resolution to that movie an hour later. Like we watched a movie through and through, and that happened during it, and we saw the end.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can really judge it until we see the finale.
And it also goes back to Jon Snow's heritage being this great secret. It wasn't just Jon's a Targaryen, that's it, but he's also Azor Ahai. That has to come into play somehow, because that's a huge development in his life, that he is the last surviving Targaryen prince.
Mm-hmm.
Some would say king. There has to be something that they do with that conflict between him and Daenerys. If it did end with them killing the Night King and this was the true ending, if this was just three more episodes with the Long Night, then you don't really have time to explore that further. So I still think that comes up in these next three episodes. And I think maybe we see Dance of Dragons Part 2. That's one of your favorite stories from the extended universe, right? Jon's got a dragon, Daenerys has a dragon.
I don't think it's his. I think he's just borrowing it.
Well, it's on loan. Yeah, he's leasing it. As long as he makes his payments. I mean, we'll see how that ends. I'll tell you what, though. There were season 8 plot leaks, and I had read one of them. One of them was spoiled for me. They were off. They were really off. It was like they fall back to the Eyrie, and Gendry kills the Viserion by throwing a dragonglass spear at him.
Gendry?
Yeah, Gendry. He should have died too.
Which I saw a meme, and it was, you know, that it's like a gif of Beyonce walking with Jay-Z like crouched behind
him.
Like, and it's like
Ari and Gendry.
Yeah. That was so funny.
I saw one, it was Kingslayers. It was Jaime, Arya, and a boar.
Yeah. That was good. There's been a lot of great memes. This season has really stepped up with their meme game.
Dude, the memes have been better than the season.
Today, Nerd Soup had a pretty good one, too.
Shut up. Once the episode airs, Twitter's just spoiler-filled. I try to be vague. I think I broke that rule this episode because I just wanted to get my thoughts out because everyone was just kind of just like...
I don't touch my phone.
Going crazy. I'm like, all right, let me just try to put my thoughts out there just to see, like...
Real quick. Won't look. Just put my thoughts out. And turn it off.
And it's a live event, really, and people... For the most part, I mean, you have Leslie Jones, like she videos the her TV screen and commentates it and puts it on Twitter. I always say every time I see those, they're hilarious. I'm like, oh, I would like to watch a Game of Thrones with Leslie Jones, but then I'm like, I get upset if the person next to me chews too loud.
Oh yeah,
and she's commentating aloud. It's hilarious to look back on, but in the moment, I'd be like, ah, come on.
No, in the moment, no, you can't talk.
But yeah, she's putting the whole thing on Twitter, memes right away, like just pictures, stills, video. It's kind of it's dangerous out there.
Did we miss anything with this episode?
I just want to say I really enjoyed Arya and the Hound scene. When he literally just picks her up and he starts sprinting, it's like, I'm afraid of fire, but...
Well, I guess Beric, right, his whole purpose?
Yes, Beric throwing the sword, saving Arya.
His Hodor moment.
His Hodor moment, yeah. Not as cool, but
not
still.
As cool.
Beric dying was upsetting.
There were like three times where I thought he had died.
I love Beric.
See, I think I should write the show, though. There are just things that it's like, and I did really enjoy the episode, but it's like, I don't know.
Was there a thought that the Hound was going to die for you guys?
No.
No, right?
No, once the episode got like 50 minutes in, I was like, oh, nobody's dying.
Yeah.
Like no one real that is going to die.
Right. None of the big boys are
dying. So a lot of people, like the first half, even the people who didn't like it, they thought they liked the first half and the setup, but... I think the main thing is just the lack of character deaths and the Night King, 8 seasons, and he's gone. So,
but we'll see where it goes.
Yeah,
we have 3 more episodes here. We have a lot of time.
Everyone relax.
Yeah, we have 4 hours. Yeah, tell that to the comment section.
Well, it's easier with these when you can actually just talk. I think this is like a hard episode for our review because we've had the same review style for these episodes for every season of every episode, and it's just like scene reaction. We were just talking about it in the moment. And these, I think, throw some ideas out there back and forth. And obviously, it's a podcast, so it's a lot easier to edit so we can get deeper into stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So
I like that.
It's nice.
Like that. All right, yeah, let's wrap it up here. Guys, thanks for joining me. You can listen to this podcast on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud. Should have said it at the top, but I didn't because I don't think it's a real podcast. It's a spoiler discussion. But you can check us out there. The links are on the thumbnail. And, yeah, thanks for listening. Guys, thank you for joining me.
We'll this was nice.
Yeah. Well, enjoy it, Ted. Killed the Night King and Ted.
Oh, by the way, what a power move by Teddy before we go.
Oh, that was...
Him tweeting out you saying, like, he patched you into a corner you couldn't get out of. I respect that move immensely, so...
I wasn't let that one slip away.
Yeah. You saw your opportunity and you struck.
You locked me in, dude.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
Hey, if you guys want me back, just comment.
No.
I'll make sure to make it happen.
You don't
want to
ask for that on this episode, dude.